week we started a small series dealing with the object of today, hopefully to give you information to better help you. So when we open our Word, it's understandable. So many times today, and I hear this more than once a week, more than twice a week, that people mean well to open the Word, to have an understanding of a Word, and they'll get started, and they just don't have a grasp on it a lot of times, and they have a lot of trouble. And the issue is the Word is not that hard to understand. It's easy for me to say that now, but growing up in church and going all my life to church and there every Sunday and climbing the ladder of success to move up in the hierarchy in the church and becoming this and having this position and doing that position, you really think you're doing yourself a lot of favors, like you're really that good to be somebody. Through that time, I heard so many other people speak on the Word out of context so much. Even through seminary, I got so caught up in what man said the Word or what man thought the Word meant. All through my life I grew up thinking, this guy must know what he's talking about. This guy must know what he's talking about. And so I grew up to where I almost thought I needed help reading the Bible. And I come to a point now where how crazy that was in my life. Why in the world do we think that a holy God, okay, needs somebody to help him to get you to understand the Word? That doesn't make sense, does it? Like, for instance, now this is what people think through their life, because I've been there in the big churches, in the mega churches with all the programs. And look, there's nothing wrong with a big church. There's nothing wrong with little. I'm not making light of that. It's the issue today. Churches entertain is what they do. The Word doesn't seem to be important, so people grow up and they don't know how to read the Word for themselves. You know. And so that's an issue that we see. That's the issue why where we started, where we're at today, is because the Word is not that hard to understand, but I myself and most people that grow up in church have a harder time understanding the Word than anybody. And so that's an issue. That's a major issue. In fact, we've come to find out through our own teachings and through our Sundays and through Wednesday nights that it's probably as easy for the person that doesn't go to church to be saved as the one who's in church that's not saved. Because they're deceived their whole life, thinking, trusting in what the man says behind the pulpit instead of seeing it for themselves. And so if you trust in what Teddy was talking about this morning, we trust in man, then it's hard to trust in what Christ did at the cross. We put our hope and our trust in what that man said, hoping that it's right. And it's almost like a hope so. See, when you put your hope in Christ, it ain't a hope so. It's your hope. It's what you count on. It's what you go to this life with. So in saying that, we've touched on this verse quite a few times, but turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And just come to a point through these next few weeks. Let's just take the Word for what it says. God doesn't need help in you understanding what He has to say. If God needs help in that, how easy is this God for us to reach us? If He wants us to have a hard time, I mean, that's pathetic. The issue is we've made it hard for ourselves because we've trusted in seminaries and colleges and all this. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we started last week, and it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word." Well, the issue is, if we don't make this verse at the utmost important, then that means if we don't rightly divide the word, that means we can wrongly divide the word. And today, all through this life, all in churches today, there are pastors that are behind a pulpit and they're wrongly dividing the Word. And they're giving you a bunch of stuff that you need to do in order for your salvation. And it'll send a person straight to hell when the issue is, it's not grace at all if there's any works involved. Right? So that deals with everything. So our salvation comes from trusting in what Christ did.
Our works come from studying the Word to be a minister to teach others what Christ did at the cross. That's why Timmy read this morning about Paul didn't care to know anything else but the cross to those in Corinthians. That was his issue. He did not want to shadow the cross with anything else. Today, your programs, your baptisms, your tithing, your Ten Commandments, all those things that were dealt with at the cross are shadowing the cross because preachers are making that more important than what Christ did at the cross. Just sit in your churches, your local churches today. You know what they'll talk about? How many baptisms they had. I mean, honestly, that's what the Southern Baptist Association keeps up with, baptisms. That's an issue. That is an issue. And so the issue came back when we studied to rightly divide. There's somewhere that this word needs to be divided. Now we also talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So it's not the issue that means some words, some letters aren't important. All the letters are important. But there's some that need to be rightly, they all need to be rightly divided. And so you go through all your life and people don't understand how to rightly divide the word. So when they read all the letters, they think they pertain directly to them to act out for them. When it's clear, if you study the word and you divide those things that are given to you and those things that were given to Israel, the word of God will make as much sense as it's ever made to you in your life. That's why we have the board up here, that we know the Gospels and the Old Testament was Israel waiting for Christ. We know that this Gospel, the good news that Christ came to earth, here's your Messiah, here's their Messiah. We know that He came to seek and save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And people today will tell you Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is your book for you and you're not Israel. And then we also know it's clearly when Paul was saved in Acts 9, all the way to Romans through Philemon, Paul wrote those 13 letters because he was given a mystery. A mystery means it had never been shown. If I give you a mystery, then nobody else would have ever known it, right? So there was a mystery that was given, okay, that nobody knew. But yet today you have people that think the same thing that these guys taught is the very same thing that Paul taught. But yet Paul says, I give you a mystery. Which one is it? I mean, because if they're not separate, then this word's wrong. So that's how we know by what we read and by what we divide in the Word. And so last week we talked about a couple things we went through just real quickly because we're going to get on forward. But in Matthew 4:23, where it said, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. Okay, now we're in Matthew chapter 4. You can just turn there. We'll go through it real quick. Matthew 4:23. Now tell me something isn't different when you see this. Matthew 4:23. This is the gospel of the kingdom. We started last week talking about that.
Somebody doesn't. Oh, here it is.
Last week we took the word gospel, and a lot of people think that gospel is just one thing you hold in your hand, and that's it. When gospel means nothing but good news. Well, isn't there a lot of good news in the Bible? There's a lot of good news. There's a lot of gospel in the Bible. The preachers have said, this is the gospel. No, there's more than one gospel in there. There's more than one good news. And the good news that was going on in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was the gospel of the kingdom. It was the gospel that Christ had come to earth. If all of Israel would believe, He was going to set His kingdom up. Right? And then we're going to be a nation of priests going out into the world to bring us to the King. To worship the King. Right? And that's what you'll read all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. By the way, it didn't happen. And so now you have the Hebrew epistles. Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Guess what? when we're out of here, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Hebrews, those are epistles that are written to the nation of Israel of those things that are going to come when we're out of here. It's the times of refreshing. But right smack dab in the heart of your word is the gospel of grace, that mystery that was given to Paul that Israel never had a clue about. It was a mystery. So that's where you have to divide those things if they speak differently. Because the Bible doesn't contradict. It's perfect. But if you say it's all together and they all preach the very same thing, then I'm going to show you contradiction after contradiction after contradiction. You have to divide it. Today people don't know how to read the Word because they don't even know the verse rightly dividing the Word of truth. And they're ashamed of the Gospel. But guess what is recited more than any verse, more than any verse around today, guess what's recited every week, week in, week out? The Awana program. 2 Timothy 2:15. From the church I came, I sat right in front of the preacher, and he says, "What is it with this 2 Timothy 2:15 every week?" I said, "Well, y'all recite it every week yourself." Didn't have a clue what the verse meant. You know why he didn't take it to heart? The Bible means what the Bible says. You either count this as the authority or you're wasting your time. Then you're putting your trust in something else. And so we have to rightly divide it or we're going to be ashamed, because a workman needeth not be ashamed rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why that verse is important. And in Matthew 4:23, look at this gospel of the kingdom. It says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues." There means something. That's T-H-E-I-R. It doesn't say in our synagogues, in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. Look, God had been silent for how long was it? 300 years or 400 years? God had been silent blank. God went silent for over 400 years. Right? And He's come. The King has come. We see Matthew. It's being preached. We're on Wednesday nights where John the Baptist is saying, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." The issue all through Israel's time was the kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom. That's why, do you think the disciples' prayer or the Lord's prayer that people recite every day, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come." You'll never see in the Old Testament or in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where people are looking to go to heaven. You won't read about it. Because they're looking for the kingdom to come to earth. Right? But in all of Paul's epistles, what's the issue? We believe in going to heaven. So they can't be together. They can't be the same good news. One's a kingdom gospel. One is a spiritual, heavenly place. We're in this dispensation of how God deals with man, where we're going. And then in time, in Ephesians chapter 1, it speaks about in the fullness of times, both coming together. But you never hear that preached. You never hear it preached. So look at this gospel of the kingdom. It says, "The gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Do you see healing all manner of sickness? Do you see people walking around touching people and healing them today? You might see it on TV a little bit of entertainment. I get tickled at the churches that believe that there's going to have a healing service and they got handicapped spots all in their front place. It just doesn't happen. The issue is not physical. The issue is spiritual today. That's why he says your spiritual, that God will, what is the verse? Your spiritual need. It says He supplies your spiritual need. It's singular. It's spiritual. Okay, He'll supply all your need. But today, the verses were not recited, all your needs. No. Look at the verse. It says He'll supply all your need. Today the issue is spiritual. It's not physical. But in this kingdom of the gospel, why was it physical? They're going to stay there. That kingdom's going to be set up. Those that faith plus works that believed were healed. Because they're not going anywhere. That's why today you don't see the healing. That's why we have doctors. They live as long as we can. But the body's going to die. That's what's going to happen. Don't trust in this flesh. They trusted in their flesh.
They had to do works of righteousness. What does Paul say? Without works of righteousness. James says, faith without works is what? Dead. Paul says in Titus chapter 3, go to Titus chapter 3 verse 1. Might as well not just say it, we might as well look it up. Titus chapter 3 verse 1. Just look at the difference in the Gospels. You don't have to just believe me, look at it. Titus 3:1, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter. It says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts."
Where you at?
3:3.
I'm sorry, 3:3. You hear me?
Yeah.
Titus 3:3. What did I say, 3:1?
Yeah.
Okay, my bad. Y'all should know what I'm thinking. Anyway. Look at verse 3. "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." How did that appear? He put His Son on the cross. After that love appeared, okay? Look what verse 5 says. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy," what did He do? He saved us. You notice there's nothing we did for that. It's everything that Christ did. But this morning, after services all over America, you know what they'll tell you you need to do? You need to come up. You need to ask God to forgive you. You need to go into baptism. Right? That's the issue today with everybody. They walk away thinking they did something. Let me tell you what. The forgiveness has already taken place. We don't have to worry about forgiveness. Now, does that not mean that I need to just do anything I want? No, I'm changed. I'm crucified with Christ. But the issue of my salvation ain't by me asking for forgiveness. He took care of that at the cross. It was something that's already done. He died for our sins. And what do you think? We go to God in prayer asking Him to forgive us. He already has. It's not the issue. Baptism is not the issue today. The issue is that we trust in what God did with His Son at the cross. We're saved by grace alone. There's no works involved. There's nothing that you need to say, you know why I'm saved? Because I did this, and I did this, and I did this. There's no grace there. That's grace plus works. What did Paul say here? "But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness." If there's anything that you thought was right that you needed to do, okay, then what Christ did is void. Either that, or we need to tear this part out of the Bible and not use it. Or maybe we need to rightly divide it, because James says faith without works is dead. Well, which one is it? They're both right. The issue is, if you go to James chapter 1, just go to James chapter 1. You have to know who the Bible says it's to, what it's for, and where it is, and what's going on. In James chapter 1, look at verse 1. "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to who?" You? No. It's to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. What tribe are you in? Paul says there's neither Greek nor Jew. Look, are we in a tribe? Are we Israel? Or is there neither Greek nor Jew? Neither bond nor free? There must have been something that took place. There had to be a mystery, a revelation that was given to Paul in the dispensation of the grace of God. See, in times past, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Old Testament Scriptures, there was a kingdom of the Gospel. There was a good news. There was a Gospel. There was good news that the King had come. Well, they crucified Him. But He's going to fulfill His promises, and the Hebrews epistles will teach you all about how He is going to save His children, Israel. There's going to be a kingdom from heaven to earth.
If you live today through the age of grace, you cannot count on these scriptures for your salvation because you ain't Israel. People say, well, I know, but we're spiritual Israel. Show me in the Word where it says spiritual Israel. You won't find the scripture. You won't find one piece of scripture. Why? Because it's a kingdom gospel. God says He's going to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That wasn't you. You were afar off until Paul received the revelation of the mystery. That's what we're seeing. Back at Matthew chapter, look at chapter 9. Go to Matthew 9. I know I'm taking my time going through these, but you need to see the differences in the gospel. So when you read the Word, when you're going to count on your doctrine, you've got to know Paul's letters. Because they don't speak the same. In Matthew 9 verse 35, the Word says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Go one chapter over, chapter 10, verse 5, and then we're going to move forward. Matthew 10, 5, look what Christ told the disciples. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles." That's you. Okay? "And into any city of Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The issue here is Christ was going to save all of Israel. And then Israel was going to be a kingdom of priests. And then we'll go out into the world and say, it's going to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. You see it in Matthew, Mark, and John. The salt, the salt, the salt. But they failed. Instead, they crucified their Messiah. So it didn't happen. It's going to happen one day. But so Christ could save all. Look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When it talks about salvation, it says many, to many, to many. M-A-N-Y. That doesn't mean all. Paul's gospel says all. Christ, Israel failed so all could be saved. But Israel had to fail first. And so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not your gospel. That's a kingdom gospel. The good news of the kingdom. Is it important for us to know? Absolutely. We need to know the Word. We need to know the truth so that we can divide and rightly divide the Word. Look at some differences just real quick. Go to Matthew chapter 28. I love the churches today that take the Great Commission, is what we're taught as I grew up. It was our Great Commission. They would tell us that this is our Jerusalem, that Easter Edge would be Judea, and that they give these city names for everybody. But I think the Word means what it says. I think the issue is He's speaking to the disciples. He's speaking the Great Commission, what needs to take place, because all of Israel has to be saved first. And here's His Great Commission. But I want you to see parts that churches will take, but they won't take it all. They'll just take some of it. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Okay? Now go to the similar. And the issue is, people say that's our commission. That's not our commission. It's not our commission at all. Our commission, Paul says, is what? It's the ministry of what? The revelation of the grace of God. Their commission was to go into all the world and save all of Israel. But Christ died on the cross, and so it is later for a time to come for them to do that. Right? Go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16.
Mark 16:16. The word says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." That is going to take place. That's really going to happen. But I love today, people seem to pick and choose the parts they want to obey in this gospel. Today they want to pick and choose parts. Of the kingdom included, repentance. This kingdom gospel included repentance. It included water baptism. People today preach Mark 16:16 for salvation all day long. They preach it. Look at 16:16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And today everywhere people will preach this. But this isn't salvation for the church, the body of Christ. It's salvation for Israel. There are many that claim that the verse and they're baptized, and they believe that you must be baptized to be saved today. There's many churches that believe that. But it's interesting, they never follow verse 17. They just stick with that part. Well, he doesn't stop what he's talking about here, does he? Well, if you look at verse 17, it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils." You see that going on today? No. "They shall speak with new tongues." Do you see new languages popping up everywhere today in the churches? No. Verse 18 says, "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." How many times you see them drinking a cup of gasoline? They don't pick those verses. They just pick six. Let me tell you what. In the times to come, when Israel starts this great commission, there are going to be things that will come upon them. What does the word say Jews require? A sign. They require signs, wonders, and miracles. And that's what took place all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What sign did you see this week? A stop sign. But that's it. In the dispensation of the grace of God, the issue isn't physical. The issue today for your life and for your salvation is spiritual. The issue is we trust in what Christ did at the cross without works of righteousness. People say, "You can believe that. You just think you can go do anything you want and be saved." Absolutely. Praise God. You got it. You can. If I trust in what Christ did at the cross and that alone for my salvation, I can do whatever I want. But I don't want to. Because Galatians chapter 2 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Yet I live. But it's not me who lives. It's Christ who lives in me." See, the issue of grace is the fact that we're saved by nothing of ourselves, without works of righteousness. But today, you ask somebody why they know they're saved, they'll give you their list. Because seminaries all over the world tell you what you must do, and they treat you as if you're Israel. Well, the Bible's absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong if we say that we're Israel. Because the Apostle Paul was the last apostle who was given the last dispensation, and he says there's neither Greek nor Jew, bond nor free, right? Which one is it? You either say you're something and Paul's wrong, or you say you're not, and the others are wrong. Well, no, you rightly divide the word so you can understand it. That's why we know when we study the Word. And look, if you don't study it, like Timmy said this morning, if you just count on what I say, and just you've wasted your time. You have to read the Word. But you have to also rightly divide it, or you'll wrongly divide it. There's no halfway. You either do it right, or you don't. And Paul's letters speak totally different than anything of the Kingdom Gospel. Well, how do you know? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to show you. tell you what, go to Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Just for the sake of time. But before that, one thing I want you to understand is Paul preached what? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's what Paul preached, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John doesn't preach the death and the resurrection. Christ hadn't died until the end of all those letters. Right? Notice what Peter always says to Israel. You crucified him. You crucified him. You crucified him. What does Paul say? He died for you. He died for you. He died for you. That alone is different. Paul preached a murder indictment to all of Israel. Peter did. Paul preached that he loved you and that he died for you. But real quick, just some things that Paul says. Acts 20, 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry. What would the ministry be? That would be his commission. It wouldn't be go out into all the world. You know, go to Jerusalem, Judea, and then in all the world. Paul says here, right now, he says, finish my course with joy. What was his course? The ministry. What was the ministry? Not the gospel of the kingdom. It was the gospel, the good news of the grace of Christ. That He died for all. That He forgave all. Right? That was the good news that Paul had. That was the ministry. It's a totally different commission. And he says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I, see how personal he makes the sound? Which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the kingdom. It says the gospel of the grace of God. Well, if this was the gospel of the kingdom, and Paul was given a ministry of the gospel of the grace of God. One was the good news that the kingdom was at hand, right? The other was the good news that there was no more works needed. We're saved by grace. Are they the same? They can't be. Because the gospel of the kingdom required what? Water baptism. The gospel of the kingdom required what? Sacrifices. The gospel of the kingdom required works. The gospel of the kingdom required for the rich man to sell all that he had. Right? To obey the commandments. Find that in Paul's letters. It won't be there. Never talks about it. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 12, he talks about he's glad he didn't baptize anybody else but the others because it would shadow the cross. But today your tanks are full. By the way, I was baptized 2 times in my life. Okay? I don't have a problem with it, but it wasn't necessary for my salvation in any way. Because I'm not Israel. But yet today, people teach that it's necessary. You know why? Because they learned from the tradition of their grandfather and their grandfather and their grandfather. Because people went to school and became very powerful behind the pulpit. And they, as long as they can tell you what you need to do, they feel good about themselves. And they're deceivers and they don't even know it. And you know what that does? It steals the joy. Because you always feel like you got to work for your salvation. I count on my salvation. It's the hope. Not hope so. My hope is put in the fact of what Christ did at the cross. Because that's the gospel of the grace of God. Now, if you want to follow the gospel of the kingdom, you've got a lot of work to do. And you're going to find yourself miserable. And you're also going to find yourself lost. That's what you're going to put your trust in. I'm putting my trust in the gospel of the grace of God. Because His grace was evident. How do we know it's evident? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here's a declaration that Paul's being made known. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Paul says, moreover, brethren,
I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. What's the next line say? By which also ye are saved. See the marching orders? Look, he says, if, here's the condition. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain. What did he deliver? Here it is. Look at verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Well, if he says he died for our sins, does that mean that it was already done? Or does it say, for Christ is dying for your sins? He did it. Sin issue is out of the way. He doesn't say anything about you're asking Jesus in your heart or asking for forgiveness of sins. He says, for I delivered unto you, unless you believed in vain, wherein ye stand, by which you're saved, and I delivered unto you how that Christ died for your sins. They're done. That part's taken care of. Continue to read. Unless you believe in vain, he says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. See, Paul didn't say, because I went to seminary and this is what my grandfather did and what... No, he says, according to the Scriptures. Right? Look at verse 4. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So look at the contrast when you see the kingdom and you see the gospel of God. Look at the contrast in those things that are to Israel and those things that are to you today. There are contrasts everywhere. Everywhere. Next week we're going to hit one after the other. There is a difference. We need to study to know which the difference is. We just need to study and we need to know. I know I hit on water baptism a little bit this morning, so there's two verses I want you to go to. Just to clear that I didn't just say it to say it. Look at Ephesians 4:4. Ephesians 4:4. I guess it'd help me if I turned to it myself. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, there is one body, that's the body of Christ. There is one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That one baptism, is that water or is that a Holy Spirit baptism? Because when I was saved, I was baptized by the Spirit. He came into my life. So if that one baptism is a water baptism, I don't see it. Or there's not a Spirit baptism. Or the Bible's a lie. Which one is it? Does the Word mean what it says? It's exactly right. It does. Go to one more place. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. And I'll show you what the baptism is. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Good, this is well worth marking your Bible. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 says, for by one Spirit, what happens? Are we all baptized into one body? So is it necessary today to do works of righteousness for your salvation? Well, if you think it is, we know one thing it ain't. It's water. Water doesn't save anybody. Water was to tell Israel to repent, for the kingdom was at hand. It wasn't for salvation. Water was going to be for Israel. Guess what? Christ was baptized, but He came to seek and save the lost sheep of the house of Israel in the dispensation of the kingdom of the gospel. In the dispensation of the grace of God, the mystery that was given to Paul, it was Spirit baptism.
And that's by trusting in what Christ did at the cross. You know how I know I'm saved? I was baptized when I trusted in what Christ did at the cross and nothing else of myself. That He's died for my sins. Okay? According to the Scripture, He's died for my sins. So I don't need to tell you how my sins have been forgiven. I need to tell you that my sins are forgiven. It's taken care of. It's not the issue. But today, all over America, people tell you you need to ask forgiveness for all your sins. Well, then what Christ did wasn't enough. They didn't tell you you need to be water baptized. No, there's only one baptism in the dispensation of grace. But the only way you're going to understand that is if you rightly divide the Word of Truth. The neat thing is, nobody has to tell you. Just read the Scriptures and see who it talks to, what it says, where it says it. This Word is absolutely perfect on the money. There's no flaws in it. There's no contradictions. But it has to be rightly divided. If it ain't, then you'll get something different every day. Every day. The Word speaks to Israel, and the Word speaks to you, and there's two different dispensations. And today the dispensation is to you. Paul goes on to say, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Today, salvation for that nation in Israel that we think is Israel, you know how they're saved? By Paul's gospel. No other way. In Russia, you know how they're saved? By Paul's gospel. No other way. In Germany, the way that somebody is saved is by Paul's gospel. And so there's no other way. There's no works of righteousness. Or this Word doesn't mean what it says. So you can't go to James and say, "This is for you," if Paul says something is totally different. Does that mean I'm saying don't read any other parts of your Bible? No. You need to read it all to see the difference. To see the grace that you have and not works. If you've been trusting in everything you've done for your salvation, you're missing the joy of grace. I rejoice in the fact that there's nothing that He requires me to do but to count on what He did. That's it. That's how I know I'm saved. There's everything else I couldn't do.